As you saw in the bulletin and what we've showed last weeks, that we are starting a series and launching it today on the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? One thing is to realize the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a he, it's a person, it's part of the Godhead. And what we call, there's a word that we use called the Trinity. And you won't find the word Trinity in the scriptures. The word Trinity basically means tri and unity, and so it's three unified. For us to try to grasp that, we are used to seeing things in three-dimensional formats. There's height, depth, there's matter, there's just what we can see. So that's our grasp. So to consider what it means that three people could be one. We can look like somebody, act like somebody, sound like somebody, but we can never be that person. But God has ability because he's not limited to three dimensionals. He's a spirit. And therefore, God can be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three different persons, but still be one. If you put it into a math formula, it's not 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. It's 1 times 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. So there's still three different numbers, but there's still just one. And there's different, I know different people have used illustrations to try to explain the Trinity, but it's still hard because it's God and he's spirit. So we're talking about God, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God. He's just as much as the Father and Jesus. One of the ways, I know Pastor Tom, different scriptures in the Bible, he shared one of the verses today in Matthew 28. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians, it says, 13, it says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. So there's something I know there's in Christendom, there's a lot of churches who focus on the Father. Some churches focus on Jesus. But there's some who don't focus at all on the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is just as much a part of the God. And so we want to make sure when we're here that we're realizing we're focused on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One way to get to know someone is history. If you start looking at their history, if you ever read, you might have read a book about, how many's ever read a biography or read something, and you read it, and you say, well, I sort of know that person or who that was because you've read history. I know in the New Testament, there's a book called the Book of Acts. And they refer to that as the Book of Acts because it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit or the Acts of the Apostles. But it's the Holy Spirit working at it. Well, actually, the Old Testament is full of Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's just not condensed into more of a one book item. If we look at, in Bible study, there's certain principles of learning and studying the Bible that helps us understand different historical things, different things about the Bible, theology. One of them is a principle called first mention. And it's the first time you ever hear about this. What's it like? What's it look like? So the first, the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the second verse of the Bible. And it says this, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That word hovering means he was brooding. Now, when a chicken broods, something's going to hatch. Well, there was something going to hatch here pretty quick because right after that, God created everything. He created everything. So there was the Holy Spirit was just brooding over the water back then. And if you start going through and looking at different things the Holy Spirit did, one of them is that, if you find this in Exodus 31:3, is that he gave people abilities to do things. He gave craft. There was a craftsman when they were, I don't know if you ever read about the temple and that was in the Old Testament and all the artistic things they were doing there. I mean, it was just amazing. And they were making this out of metal and wood and stuff. But the Bible says that he was filled with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge and with all kinds of skills. God will give you, the Holy Spirit will give you what you need, skills you need. If you need better skills at parenting, the Holy Spirit will give you that. If you need skills at being a spouse, if If you're married, the Holy Spirit will give you that. If you need skills in your job and understanding, the Holy Spirit will give you abilities to do what you need to do. If we receive, we allow Him to do, or allow Him to do that. One of the other things, if you read through in the Old Testament, is there was an anointing of leadership that He gave. Moses, he had an anointing. But if you read in Exodus, there was a time when Moses was like, he was getting worn out. He was like, what was it? And there's all kinds of estimates, 2, 3, 5 million people. And he was trying to be the only leader, the only judge. And he was just basically, this is wearing myself out. And the Lord took that anointing. It says the Spirit of God, it's in Exodus 11, says He took some of the power of this Holy Spirit that was on Moses and put it on 70 other leaders. And if you go through the book of Judges, whenever you hear the book of Judges, if you read through that, there was different ones, and it would say the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. That's the same Spirit of God that we talk about. It's the same Spirit of God that Jesus sent. The same Spirit of God in the New Testament. It's the same Spirit of God in the Old Testament. And it says the Holy Spirit would come on ones, and they would become leaders, and they would become judges, and there was power and imparted to them. And Gideon was one of them. It says the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. He became a leader. Someone that you're familiar with, Samson. I mean, the Spirit of God came upon Samson, and it says the Spirit of God came upon him, and he tore a lion apart, just like that. So there's times when the Spirit of God came upon people and helped them to fulfill His purpose. King David said the Spirit of God, when Samuel anointed him when he was only 17 years old, the Spirit of God came upon him and he became strong, and he became, there was a fearlessness in him. That the next story we hear about David is when he defeated Goliath. There was an anointing upon him that, even as Elizabeth was talking about today and Deb shared, just dispersing fear and dispersing things, that the Holy Spirit will come and disperse those things from your life. One of the things that it talks about in the Old Testament is unity. I don't know if you remember the confession we do up here. Success, success, success to you. Success to all who help you, for your God will help you. Well, that was actually the Holy Spirit birthed that in a man named Amasai. And he was a Benjamite, which was from the tribe of Benjamin, which was actually a tribe that King Saul was from. So there was a lot of friction there. Between those tribes. And basically when he came to it, David said, are you for me or against me? And it says the Spirit of God came upon him. And he said that confession we do all the time. That's where that came from. The Holy Spirit. It wasn't something he just think, you know, well, what can I say there? We'll go down in history and it'd be a cool thing that churches could say. No, it was the Holy Spirit came upon him and said that. Do you know, and how many have read in the Old Testament all the things of the temple and how it was all put together and all the, I mean, there was a lot of detail in that. Well, Solomon, who built the temple, didn't come up with that. King David, who basically, if you read it, basically David got everything ready and told Solomon, says, here's all the material, here's everything you need to build this amazing temple. He didn't come up with it either. The Bible says it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave David the plans of what the temple was supposed to look like. Even the ark with the angels and the cherubim and all that stuff. The Holy Spirit was part of that. In the Old Testament, it talks about Jesus. That the power that Jesus had came from the Holy Spirit. Jesus was God in flesh. So he was operating like we would need to, which meant that he was allowing the Holy Spirit to come upon him. In Isaiah 61, this talks about Jesus. Jesus repeats this verse in the New Testament. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. This was an anointing of the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus. They gave him power. And there's different times in the New Testament. And there's so many more verses. We don't have time to go over them today. Of these illustrations. One of the things is the Holy Spirit creates life. Do you remember how Jesus came to be inside of Mary? It says the Holy Spirit birthed him. The Holy Spirit created him, allowed that seed to go in there and birth life to him. So there's a creativeness of life in the Holy Spirit. And I just want to take a moment, even right now, and pray. If you feel that you just need a fresh birthing of life, there's just something, maybe you've just been going along and stuff, but you just need a fresh birthing of life. We're going to take a moment and just pray for that to be released. So we just welcome you. Holy Spirit, we just declare that you are life. And we thank you for the giver of life. And even now where there's just a dormancy in some, Lord, in a sense of hopelessness, a sense of that nothing's going to change, we welcome you to birth now in each one, God. Birth your spirit, birth hope, birth life, birth strength and courage and love, Lord. Birth release, Lord, and faith. We welcome that birthing, Father, in Jesus' name. One of the things that we have with the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit gives us power over the enemy. Jesus said this, it's in Matthew 12:28, he says, But if it is by the Holy Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. It's the Holy Spirit that drives the enemy away. The power of the Holy Spirit through the name of Jesus. There's scriptures talks about the Holy Spirit teaching us, helping us know what to say in a situation. He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will teach you, give you what to say in a situation. He directs us. I don't know if you remember the story when Jesus' mom and dad took him into Jerusalem to do all the ceremonial processes and the circumcision at 8 days and all that stuff and the dedication to him. There was a man there named Simeon. And it says that Simeon's been waiting. He already knew the Holy Spirit said, you know, you're not going to die until you see my salvation, the hope of Israel. And he was just another day. It doesn't say how long it was between he said that and then this day that happened. But he said he was there. He was around this crowd, a bunch of people there and stuff. And he felt like the Holy Spirit, it says, moved him, told him, go over here. Go over here because this is going to happen. How many of you have ever experienced that where you felt like the Holy Spirit said, go over here or stay over there or do something? Aren't you glad you listened? I know many times it's like, whoa, you know. Or even sometimes it says, don't do anything. Stay, you know, stop right here. Don't go. Don't move. And there's so many times the Holy Spirit will help that. The Holy Spirit is part of our birthing. When we receive Jesus, what happens is our spirit, which is dead to God, becomes alive. And if Jesus said that in John chapter 3. He says that, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they were born of water and spirit. As Rich was sharing today, he shared that up here. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. That's what we call being born again. When we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit bursts new life in our spirit. We become born again. There's a freshness. There's a fresh revelation, understanding of God. I know we're going to have different ones over the next few weeks share all kinds of different aspects of the Holy Spirit. Mike, Gene, I don't know if Gene knew this, but Mike knows. We're going to share about the Holy Spirit and part of our worship. How the Holy Spirit helps us to worship as we experience, helps us understand. In John 4, Jesus said, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must, not optional, must worship him in the spirit and in truth. Worshiping God in the Spirit helps us to know him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, the Spirit of God knows God. So if we want to know God, we have to involve the Holy Spirit. He is who's going to help us. It says in the scripture in John 14, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will teach us and remind us of everything. Do you ever forget something that God's told you or that God's shown you? So the Holy Spirit will teach us and remind us, and that he himself, the Holy Spirit, That's right, I forgot that I had overhead there. Sorry. Anyways. Yeah, he reminded me. See, he just reminded me. With the help of Dina, flashing it up there on the thing. Yes, there we go. Where are we at? How do you know? Worship. There we go. Testify guides us in the truth. Gives us power. You ever needed power? Power for to live? Power for the day? Power to... Sometimes we think, well, we just need power to testify. How many ever need power to forgive? Power to love somebody that's unlovable. You know, power to have peace or patience or... The Holy Spirit, and it's not a one-time thing. He's there. He gives us. The Holy Spirit will guide us into, yes, he gives us boldness too. Gives us power, boldness. Yeah, I'll catch up. I'm synchronizing them now, this with that. There it is. I'm with you now. Thank you. He guides us. He gives us boldness. He circumcises our heart. The Holy Spirit, that when that what that talks about is that there's something that we're set aside, we're marked for Him. The Bible says that He pours His love, the Holy Spirit, in Romans 5:5, He says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. He testifies, Romans 8, that we are the children of God. Do you ever need that confirmed in you? That you are a child of God? You ever need that? Wait a minute. I'm a child of God. I don't need to be put up. I don't need to be driven this way. I'm a child of God. I have promises. I have hope. I have God with me. God on my side. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. Why am I? I need to stop and receive Him. It says the Holy Spirit helps us know what to pray. You ever been confused, not know what to pray for someone? The Holy Spirit helps us to pray in English and in tongues, both. He helps us in our understanding and when we pray in the Spirit, in tongues, He helps us to do that. And that's available for everyone. He gives us gifts. One of the things with the Holy Spirit is He guides us. Mitch, you want to come on up? Forget that, Dina. You're doing great. And it's nice because the little thing works. So we got that working, but forget that. You know, one of the things, the Bible says the Holy Spirit guides us, but it's like, let's say if Mitch was the Holy Spirit, and I'm Christian, so Mitch, you guide me. Now you see, no matter how nice Mitch is to me, no matter how much he encourages me, where's the choice? So the Holy Spirit can guide us, but we have to listen. Thank you, Mitch. You do great, Holy Spirit, Mitch. You know, one of the things that the Scripture says is that the Holy Spirit guides us into truth. And truth will set us free. Sometimes I think I'm free. You ever thought you're really free? You know, back when Jesus said this verse, He said it to the Israelites. And He said, well, wait a minute. We're Abraham's children. We're free. What are you talking about? He says, but you're not free. And I know that I'm free, but I know there's parts of me that's not free. There's parts of me that the Holy Spirit needs to free and needs to help me. And that's part of that truth. Holy Spirit, bless you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, bless you. So who's this for? You know, who can have the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible says, in Joel 2:28, this is in the Old Testament, the prophet in the Old Testament, he says, I will pour my spirit out on all people. Now, all people, that's everybody. Every race, gender, nationality, age, every person has that opportunity, as Mitch is demonstrating, to receive the Holy Spirit. But there's a gate. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. There's a gate to receive the Holy Spirit. It's through faith in Jesus. When we put our faith in Jesus, that gate is open and we can receive the Holy Spirit to help us with all those things that I mentioned. And what is God's heart? Is He got just a select few? The Bible says it's God's will. In 1 Timothy 2 says, this is good and pleases God our Savior who wants all people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. Every single person you see, no matter how much you dislike them, no matter what you think of them, Remember, he wants that person to be saved. He wants that person to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants that person to experience everything we just talked about the Holy Spirit. He wants that person to have that same thing. When we become born again, the Holy Spirit puts a seal. The Bible says he becomes a seal inside of us. But there's more to it than that. The Holy Spirit comes from Jesus. Jesus said he is the one who prayed to the Father and asked to send the Holy Spirit. He said he's going to do that. But there's times when there's people, there's illustrations that they've been saved. They know Jesus, they've been sealed, but they've not received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, Apostle Paul was a group of believers. Says, when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we can limit God by just, okay, I'm saved, but that's it. That's good. And that's basically where these guys, they were saved, but they did not understand. Nobody taught them. Nobody told them, well, wait a minute, there's more than that. There's more than just salvation. There's more than having the Holy Spirit in here. You can receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, a sense of, like Jesus said, he was going to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, a sense of saturation. And that's not a one-time event. That's a continual, day by day, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we could have our musicians come on back up, please. In Galatians, the church in Galatians were doing really good. They were believing. They were having faith. And then they got into this works thing. And they started thinking, well, you know, if I do this and this and this, I'm going to have more power. God would probably love me more. And they started getting into the law. And, well, we got to do this, you know, because this is what the Old Testament says. Or this is what the tradition says. Or this is what whatever. And Paul said this. He said, I would like to learn just one thing. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, you're now trying to finish by means of the flesh. So again, I ask you, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? It's a place of faith, trust in Jesus, our faith in who he is. If we could go ahead and stand, if you would, please. So the first question is, do you know him? Have you been sealed by the Holy Spirit, which comes, have you ever put your faith in Jesus? In a few minutes, we're going to have a personal ministry team going to be up here, and they can pray with you here to do that. If you don't feel comfortable having them, you can pray right now, just asking Jesus in your heart by faith to receive the Holy Spirit. The other question is, have you received the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Are we listening as Mitch was sharing up here, demonstrating? Is he saying, come on? But it's still up to us to yield to that, to say, okay, I'm going to trust you. I would just like to pray. We're just going to welcome. If you just want to receive a freshness of the Holy Spirit, just a refreshing. And you know, we can pray this now, but you can pray it again in a half hour or another, or tonight or tomorrow morning. It's good to just keep saying, Holy Spirit, just refresh, bring a freshness of faith to me. So let's just go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your plan and your goodness. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are, for your great salvation that you came to give us. You laid down your life, shed your blood, died on the cross, but yet you rose again that we might have victory over death and sin. We thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you said you'd ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. You did that. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us. And we welcome you afresh into our lives, into our heart, into every aspect, that you would lead us into all truth, that you would give us that power to live the life that you call us to live, that you would give us the boldness to be the light to this world and salt of the earth, that you would fill our hearts with love. Not just for you, but for, Father, for everyone, the people around us. the people that we struggle with loving, that you would fill us with your love for them, for your desires that come to know you. We welcome your blessing, your purpose, your destiny, Father, on each one here in Jesus' name.